This meeting is now being recorded.
All right. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. Welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Subteam Track 4, IDN's Technical and Operations Call held on the 3rd of August, 2017. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you are only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourself be known now? Hearing no names, I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for recording purposes, and please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid background noise. And with this, I'll turn it back over to our co-chair, Cheryl Langdon-Orr. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl Langdon-Orr, for the record. And it sounds like you're about to forget who I was. I'm devastated. Sorry. Rubens and I are hoping that today's agenda, which is a very lightweight and simple one, where we are going to be continuing on from where we left off at our last call, and that is to look now at the topic of universal acceptance, may have us wrapping up in a shorter than advertised time. But of course, that is all up to you. So we do have a very focused and we trust non-controversial topic to look at today. It is one that you've had access to the material of since our last call, and we hope that everyone is ready to put their thoughts forward on some of the proposed language for our recommendations as we go through to that. And that, for me at least, the upload is still in progress. It may be that my internet is, as is often the case, ridiculously slow, but if we can just move to the general agenda page and make sure nobody has any suggestions or changes to the agenda, and ask if there is anybody who has any other business that they would like to let us know about now. If not, the one piece of administration, we will ask for any other business again at the end of the call, but the one piece of administration we always need to do at the beginning of these calls is ask formally if anyone has any updates to their statements of interest. And not hearing anyone say they do, we're going to dive into our next stage of the work team for community consultation number two comment. And for that, I'm going to hand over to Rubens. Over to you, Rubens.
Thank you, Cheryl. This is Rubens Q for the record. A good time of day, depending on where you are in world time zones. We'll be continuing our topics from last week. And now we'll go through slide 10. It seems that everybody is able to scroll their own slides. So now go to slide 10 to discuss universal acceptance. Favorite topic of Work Track 4 leadership. In the original GTLD round, I can use round here since it was a round and I don't have to pay the round tax. It was assumed that policy was only meant to encourage adoption, to try to remove barriers, not in a marketing sense. So it's not an universal awareness. It's not about making people aware that there are either new GTLDs or new IDN TLDs or new IDN CCTLDs from the Fast Track program. So what we had on the GNSO policy principles read exactly like that. Some new generic top-level domains should be internationalized domain names subject to the approval of IDNs being available in the root. That's conditional. Ended up being satisfied. IDN program was developed and adopted both in CCTLDs and GTLDs. And we had the program, we had some IDN TLDs and some non-conventional TLDs, like TLDs that were not based out of or three letters or that were not conet.org or a CCTLD. And some drawbacks of that change, of that innovation, were felt by some registrants, and this was ended up coined in what is currently known as universal acceptance, where even if you have a domain, sometimes one system says, oh, you don't, that domain is invalid, so we can add your email address to our form, or we can add your domain to our hosting services, or anything like that. That has been dealt over the last few years by a different group inside, not inside ICANN, but sponsored by ICANN, which is the Universal Acceptance Steering Group. And most of the comments ended up being positive for the efforts of UASG, which has nothing to do with Arab Emirates, which is not UACTLD, but with user acceptance. But current situation is we already have IDN TLDs in the root, so this condition doesn't apply anymore. And we have now IDN guidelines. We have label generation rules for the root. We have label generation rules for most of the scripts that are available in the TLD. So we are now in a much better position than there. So the idea was to only crystallize that that situation by changing the language to some new generic top-level domains. Actually, there is one suggestion here, but initial suggestion was some user top-level domain should be international domain names. All the applicants should be made aware of universal acceptance challenge in asking IDN TLDs. There was already one comment that is not reflected here, and we should have, sorry for that, that we could say some new generic top-level domains could be international domain names. So the idea is that the program needs to open the opportunity for new IDN TLDs, but not that is an obligation that one or at least two in plural should be IDN TLDs. We hope that IDN TLDs keeping applied for, that people being interested in proposing new IDN TLDs. But there was one suggestion that was really accepted that we should change to could. But one of suggestions that was also accepted was to make applicants aware of UASG. So, hey, there is something called UASG. They can help you better understand challenges involved in universal acceptance. Have some document templates so you can instruct users, registrants, software developers, and a myriad of communities that are involved or affected by universal acceptance. So the language we currently has on the table is some new generic top-level domains could be international domain names, although applicants should be made aware of universal acceptance challenges in ASCII and IDN TLDs, mentioning both questions related to IDN or questions related to not be a legacy TLD, to be a new TLD. So question is everybody in the call happy with that language? Yes, no, some tweaks, some principal discussions, ideas. We have some, at least one green one okay, two okay. Let me join the party and also put my agree here, not as a co-chair, but as a participant of the group. Any oppositions? Hearing none, seeing none on Adobe. So I have a different question. Does anyone think that we need to make any additions? So, hey, we should change other policy aspects of the program. We should comment on different things. So, is there anything else that we, as a PDP working group, not as UASG, should be doing to foster universal acceptance of ID and TLDs that have most challenging aspects, but also for universal acceptance of ASCII TLDs? Note that this is not awareness. Awareness is mostly a communications and marketing thing that's outside of policy range. So we can go there. Alan, please go ahead.
Thank you. I have a question to ask. How much participation in this working group and this working and this sub-team do we have from people who are either running IDN TLDs or have real experience in that area? I assume there's some, but I really don't know who that is. And, I feel like we're all, pontificating on things that we know about theoretically, or at least many of us know about theoretically, but not necessarily have a lot of hands-on practice, hands-on experience. And I'd like to hear more from people who actually, forgive me, know what they're talking about. And Rubens, I don't know if you have any personal experience or not, so I'm not trying to slander you. I just don't know.
Thank you, Alan. I can talk about my personal experience. I launched some ASCII new DTLDs, and I needed to raise and escalate things with Apple, Google, Mozilla to get the TLDs that I participated in the launch to accept those TLDs. So I have some experience in the ASCII TLDs acceptance, and also some of the IDN SLDs acceptance, because we in .pr have IDN support in SLDs for quite some time. But while I haven't participated in an IDN TLD launch, one thing that I always remember was the launch of the first IDN TLD, which was .shabaka, and their experience was pretty much terrible, because they have problems getting register support for their TLD, most of either not interested from a commercial standpoint or not able on a technical standpoint. But most of these challenges are challenges that are being handled in UASG. So even though we really don't have much people here with ID and TLD experience, except for Sarmad from Iconorg, which is resident Icon ID and expert. But besides that, we in fact don't have much, but there is anecdotal knowledge of what has happened and what has occurred in the round. But so if something really either terrible or great happened, you probably know about that. We might not know the lesser details, the smaller things that makes life difficult. So that's something that we might not have. But the great, great scenario, great landscape we do have.
Thank you.
Cheryl, please go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say thank you, and I hadn't noticed the StarMed is on the call, so I apologize again in another way.
thank you, Reuben. Cheryl here, and I just also was going to point out that, as I said in the chat, you know, we do bring in key staff and experts, and so that was obviously one I was going to point out. And of course, Alan, there are others, mouldy oldies like myself, who speak Australian and don't have any scripts to be concerned about, but have been passionate supporters, even in the external to ICANN world, for internationalised domain names, and have served on the policy development processes right back to the fast-track systems within the CCTLD community. So whilst that is not technical expertise, it certainly is a Rolodex of people who have been closely watching and listening for issues. And I think the main limitation that I suspect you're trying to raise is that we are looking at some, in some cases, quite important technical issues. If we feel that we don't have the expertise, we've asked for that expertise to be brought in, and in the absence of having a purely technically based working group and sub-team looking at this work, I'm not sure how we can do better than that. Do you have any suggestions, Alan?
No, I don't. My only Cheryl will understand this. The rest of you won't. Both of us just came out of a meeting which anesthetized me. So maybe my brain is not fully up to gear right now, and if so, I apologize. I just have a concern sometimes, not necessarily in this group, but in some of our groups, that we're talking about things without actually going to people who have experienced them. And I raised the issue. I think you've quelled the issue, and let's go on.
Back to you, Reuben.
Thanks, Alan. So if you are satisfied with the language, with the change I mentioned in audio could be made, we can then go to the next slide, which discuss our next topics for work track 4. So we are now going to slide 12. You already covered, either in the last call or in this call, IDMs and universal acceptance. So we have some items ahead of us, but before going to that, I'll go to Anne, which has raised her hand. Please go ahead.
Yes. Thank you, Rubens. When I had looked at the language about IDNs from the last call, I did have one suggestion on the language in relation to IDNs, which are the equivalent of existing or applied for top-level domains. And we use a phrase in the proposed language about by force of agreement, where the registry operator is making a commitment about how the IDN will interact with the existing or applied for a non-IDN TLD. So I would suggest that we use the word written in front of agreement. So on that language, I would say we would need to say by force of written agreement. In other words, I would understand this would be a commitment within the registry agreement, because it's a commitment of the registry operator. Do I have that right as far as who's committing?
Thank you. And to the benefit of those who haven't remembered, that language is available at slide 8. So if you could go to slide 8 to look at the language. The language that is written there says, IDN GTLD is deemed to be variants of already existing or applied for TLDs will be allowed, provided, one, they have the same registry operator implementing by force of agreement, a policy of cross-variant TLD bundling, and two, Rootsoon LGRs already include a script language at evaluation time. So, and suggestion is by force of written agreement, which is coming from suggestion from a lawyer. I'm prone to accept it promptly unless someone disagrees. Does someone disagree with adding by force of written agreement? Going once, going twice, sold. So we add by force of written agreement to this language. So if you can go back now to slide 12. So we discussed the last call IDNs, but we just made one change to IDNs in this call. We discussed universal acceptance in this call. There are some items that are ahead of us to discussion. They include some items that are already listed there, timing of technical capability, whether it's required before signing agreement, at application time, at signing agreement time, whether technical evaluation should be performed in aggregation, how to do financial evaluation, and name collisions. Besides that, we also have to look at PDT, which is the acronym for pre-delegation testing. What should we do regarding prescribing PDT or prescribing things that will come later with execution of the agreement? Technical questions themselves and financial questions themselves. So the question here is what of those topics are the group already informed to discuss, and what topics do the group need more information? There is one topic that the group already signalized that more information is needed about name collisions. We requested to ICANN.org summary of the reported collisions in anonymous form without TLD or application name or person name or anything, but we are still waiting on that. We also have asked for the clarification questions and answers issued for the public questions in technical evaluation and financial evaluation. ICANN.org still hasn't committed either to giving or not or denying that information. So we don't know either if they will give us the information or not, and if they will give, when. But there could be other information sources that work track members think they need in order to address the outstanding items. Is there something things we need to know or consult someone, consult an expert before discussing the outstanding items? It'll give people some time to think. Jeff Newman mentioned that if there is an RSP program, we should discuss the implementation of that evaluation criteria. Good suggestion. We also have to coordinate a bit with on the work tracks on that, but we can deal that at leadership and come to a proposal. Anne has raised her hand. Please go ahead, Anne.
Yes, thank you, Rubens. It's Anne Aikman-Scalise for the transcript, and I have one question and then one comment. And this is on the topic of name collisions. And my question relates to the slide language, which says, depends on ICANN.org response on the 2012 round collisions. And I wanted to know when we talk about response, are we speaking of the response that is expected to the letters written by some of the registry applicants for the 2012 .home.corp.mail, or are we speaking of a different response? What, which response are we speaking about? That's my question. And then I have a comment after that.
Thank you, Anne. The answer is no, it's not about that letter. It's about a request we made to ICANN.org about the collisions that were reported to ICANN. So it only refers to TLDs that actually got delegated. The three TLDs you mentioned haven't got their delegation yet, or they might not get ever. So it doesn't apply to them. And also that specific topic is not in our charter. So until it does, I think, and I'm not saying that will be, but I think it will not, but I can foresee everything in the future. But and without that in our charter, we don't even have the authority to ask about it. And you had a comment. Please go ahead.
Great. Thank you for clarifying that, Rubens. This is Anne again for the transcript. And the reason I asked that question, of course, because of the discussion that occurred in the face-to-face meeting in Johannesburg in relation to the 2012 permanently reserved name. So thank you very much for clarifying that. The comment about whether we need additional information, again, relates to the topic of name collisions, where I would like to have a much better understanding of the proposed language for the new framework for name collisions. I took in a lot of good information by participating remotely in the Johannesburg meeting, but in order to determine whether additional information is needed on the technical side, especially with respect to name collisions, I would need to have a much better idea of the replacement framework on name collisions that we are proposing as a group. Thank you.
Thank you, Anne. Just to note that what has been agreed so far is a framework that's remarkably similar to 2012. So while it might have some more clear guidelines, notably for categorization of strings, which is something that a topic that I know is a favorite of yours, but besides that, it's basically the same framework that was used in 2012, which included controlled interruption and reporting and so forth. So while we might be going through some of the details, it's basically the 2012 framework. One thing that we are still going to do is based on suggestions from the office of the CTO is doing outreach to some specifically technical groups, and some of them might come along with some new suggestions or some new comments to that. So we have already something in the queue, but you raise your hand again, so if you have to tell us something, please go ahead.
Yes, Rubens, just a quick follow-up on that. One of the things I noted in the slide in the face-to-face meeting in Johannesburg, and this is Anne again, is that there was a bullet point about an exception to the controlled interruption period that could be authorized in certain special cases by ICANN.org, I guess, by ICANN itself. And I didn't really understand the implications of that bullet point in the slide. I think I raised the question at the time, and Jeff said that that would be explained to us later. And so that's one of the differences I noted. But again, I'm not sure I have, you know, the complete the knowledge that would be needed to agree or not agree as to whether we have, you know, a need for additional technical advice without knowing more of the specifics of those bullet points that were displayed in Johannesburg. Thank you.
Thank you, Anne. I can talk on that specific bullet point you mentioned. The question there is, one of the known collisions, which I don't know if it was reported to ICANN or not, but it's something that is at least known to me, and I mentioned it a few times during ICANN meetings, that there was at least one case where one specific application entering into an issue when a TLD delegated a wildcard controlled interruption, which was responding the controlled interruption for every label. And there is one issue with one specific application that the delegation of the wildcard controlled interruption caused that application to fail. And they asked the register operator of that TLD to stop doing the controlled interruption. And they did, because that's the only option available to them. Under the 2012 framework, you either delegate a wildcard and provide a service for that label, or you do nothing. And that this our nothing is what caused the issue, because the policy didn't allow it, either them or ICANN, to allow them to provide them exception for this specific case where they could, instead of doing controlled interruption, they could not answer anything for the specific application name, and then they wouldn't be ever allowed to release that name. That name would be permanently reserved or waiting as reserved until that application fixes that collision issue, and they could do controlled interruption on that label for a while. So that bullet point was about allowing ICANN, agreement between ICANN and the register operator to do an exceptional case, something that would allow a better response to the problem. Because what that register operator did was wait until that application to fix the problem, and then start controlling interruption for all labels. So he got 1 year delay in the launch plans for that TLD just because of this issue. So that was the idea of that exception. So if I could one comment, it seemed that exceptions to control interruption to be given by ICANN in its discretion need some policy guidelines rather than being open-ended. That's interesting. We can think on guidelines like situations where allowing that exception provides better public interest than keeping the all-or-nothing approach. We can look into that. And if you can provide us some policy guidelines, some suggestion of policy guidelines that would align with a situation like the one I described, that would be awesome. So if you could, or if someone else in the call volunteers to provide that, that would be awesome. If you go now to slide 13, what's still to be discussed, name collisions in legacy GTLDs, very interesting topic, but also very technically technical challenge. Whether two-year readiness is required for either going round or subsequent procedures, but it's also depending on iconic response for work track to provide some meaningful input on whether we should, we shouldn't, this is useful, this is not useful, etc. We also have one other outstanding item about route to scaling, where we want to outreach some advisory committees, RSAC and the Office of CTO on questions on route to scaling. Besides question in the topics in slide 13, does anyone have any other topic that seems to be lost that we might have not discussed, or does it seem that we are reasonably complete in the discussion we are having? Hearing none, it seems I will get back to Cheryl for ending this call. Cheryl, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Ruben. I get the good job. Thank you. And I think we've progressed quite well, although it's taken us about 9 minutes longer than we thought it would, Ruben. We're slipping here. We figured it might be a call of about 30 minutes length today. It's going to be about 40 minutes. Let's call for any other business. Thank you, Jeff. That's a point well made in the chat. Not hearing any other business. As far as I know, the next call is going to be, it would be 1300 hours, is it? Can staff confirm, or is it 0500 hours? I think it's probably 1300 hours on Thursday, the 17th of August. And with that, at 40 minutes on the dot into the call.
Steve, go on.
Sorry, who's that? Steve, go ahead, Steve. Sorry, you were above the line. Go ahead, Steve.
Thanks, Cheryl Rubens. This is Steve from staff. And I was just wondering if you guys wanted to cover slide 14 of the slides. Maybe I just tuned out for a second, didn't hear it, but I know that Rubens and Cheryl are aware, but I just want to remind the working group that in terms of one of the bullet points or ask of ICANN, the one about ICANN org input on SLA monitoring failures, the suggestions from GDD on ways to reduce those failures. So specifically what was asked is improvements to the technical evaluation questions or the pre-delegation testing, or perhaps even ongoing monitoring, or just general improvements to reduce the likelihood of SLA failures. So the responses from GDD were provided, I think, Monday. So I guess I just wanted to remind folks that those have been provided. Please take a look at those. I'm thinking that those will probably feed into a number of discussions. I know Jeff mentioned the RSP program, so it would probably have touch points on that. Some of the areas where there's tentative consensus reach, it might have touch points there. So in terms of when the technical capability is required, when the evaluations are performed, and whether they're aggregated. So it seems to really have integration with a lot of these discussions. So like I said, just a reminder that that's been provided. Thanks.
Right, Cheryl, for the record, thank you, Steve, and yes, I believe that is something that most of us were aware of, and we will be putting it on an agenda when Rubens and I decide to put it on the agenda. And with that, I'm going to wrap up the call. Bye for now.
Bye, all.
Thank you all for joining today. You may disconnect online.